This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 26, Ravenala.
You agreed to do what?
Pyra offered the false king a blank stare. His fingers fumbled with the fasteners on his doublet as Eric gave a sheepish shrug. If the wall hadn't been holding him up, he would have likely collapsed into one of the many armoires that lined the room.
I didn't exactly have a choice. The entire meeting was a setup.
Clasps shouldn't be this difficult. Why was he struggling? His fingers felt numb, which was probably a bad sign.
The moment we walked in, there was no outcome that didn't end in disaster.
He glanced up at the prince, who nodded in agreement.
I believe you.
Pyra slumped into the cushioned folds of the massive four-poster bed.
Lucian is nothing if not cunning. I should have been there to help you navigate, but I simply did not expect him to act so swiftly.
She was almost launched from the bed as something dove into the mattress behind her. Pyra turned to see the mage relaxing into her pillow, his hands behind his head and his filthy shoes on her sheets. His robe was unfastened, along with his belt, to allow a modicum of relief to his obviously full stomach. She frowned.
And where were you during all this?
Atlas groaned.
Oh, playing the part of the royal food taster. And what about you?
I was taking care of something.
Reaching the end of his patience, Eric dropped his hands with a huff.
Why do I need to change outfits again? I just got all this fancy stuff on like 2 hours ago.
Pyra stood and moved to him, undoing the doublet with deft fingers.
Because these clothes were chosen to remind Lucian of the warrior my husband was. Now we need to choose attire that reminds the people of the king.
Atlas chuckled briefly, before regretting the pain it caused his stomach.
I never realized political discourse involved so much fashion.
Pyra raised a disapproving eyebrow as she stripped the overshirt off Eric.
As someone dressed in a bathrobe, I'm not surprised.
Wizard robe? And hat?
She moved to the closest armoire and pulled out a crimson tunic richly embroidered with golden thread.
While it is the man beneath that can change the hearts and minds of others.
She paused, finding herself running the fabric between her hands before shaking away her sadness. She reached for a fur-trimmed leather surcoat that displayed the royal crest.
It is the clothes that afford him their attention.
She presented the fabrics to the false king.
A court will not listen to a man dressed less lavishly than themselves.
Eric accepted the tunic with a sidelong glance and a sigh.
Can we get back on topic? I have to raise an army of the dead and fight a war, neither of which is something I can do.
Pyra chuckled a little to herself as she continued to sort through the dressers and wardrobes. Elias had been the same, single-minded on the matters at hand and oblivious to the games played in the courts. She selected all the minor details that, she felt, would make this man look like a king.
One calamity at a time. First, we have to get you through tonight.
She pulled open a drawer, and her breath caught in her throat. Her husband's crown, simple and gold, glittered up at her from beneath a fine layer of dust. Eric noticed the queen's stifled sigh and exhaled through his nose.
I'm sorry. I didn't notice how difficult this must be for you.
She felt the man reach out for her, Empyra shook her head, swallowing her feelings.
It's nothing.
She forced a smile as she turned to face him, the forgotten crown in her hands. Chewing on his words, Eric realized he wasn't great at this sort of thing. He didn't know half of what she was feeling and understood even less. Deciding to let it go for the moment, he yanked the crimson tunic over his head, and the sudden motion threw him back into a sea of vertigo. Gravity forced him to the ground, his arms trapped inside the garments. His head hit the wooden leg of the four-poster bed, and he slumped into the rug. Pyra and Ondine rushed to his side, pulling him off the ground and setting him on the bed, untangling his arms from his clothes. Rolling to his side to have a proper look at the man, Atlas noticed for the first time the false king's sunken eyes, pale lips, and gray skin.
"You look horrible. What happened?"
Eric shot him a furtive glance.
"Let's just say I made a few too many shadow puppets."
He gave a slight murmur of pain as he reached up to rub at the welt on his forehead.
"Any chance you know how to make that drink Wilfred gave me?"
"Nah."
Atlas rolled back to his original position.
"And even if I did, I wouldn't. Sure, it might help you recover a little, but that stuff doesn't so much fix the issue as make you notice it less. From the looks of it, you're already too close to the edge to chance numbing the warning signs."
Eric grimaced. That was one idea down. In the back of his mind, he could feel Wraith retreat a little, shame burning in his tiny presence. Pyra stood and moved to a long chest at the end of the bed.
"I may have something that will help. Elias once took a blow to his ankle during weapons training. It won't help you heal, but perhaps it will keep you from falling over."
Eric looked up as she offered him a finely carved cane. The head was an ornate metal swoop, molded from flawless steel with a simple but intricate design. The shaft was a stained wood, so dark it was almost black, but shimmered with embedded flecks of gold, causing it to sparkle like the stone of the castle. He took it solemnly.
"I can't even stand on my own. How am I supposed to take on 3 invading armies?"
Pyra blanched.
"3?
"That's what Lucian said. The Brotherhood went around and convinced all the neighboring countries to converge in the same spot."
Pyra closed her eyes.
"Emberun. It's the only place along our border with easy access to Still Harbor. The obvious choice if you need to ferry troops in those numbers across the river."
She put her hand to her mouth.
"But that would mean our peace treaty with the Brotherhood has dissolved."
"Not exactly." Everyone spun in the direction of the voice. Evan was sitting on the windowsill, casually listening to their conversation.
"The treaty is alive and well, just not in the way you think."
"Dude, where have you been?"
Eric felt his face flush with color. Evan shrugged.
"Skulking? It's one of the things you pay me for, isn't it?"
"We pay you?"
"I'm keeping the running tab. Don't worry about it. The point is, I was able to tell Lucian after the meeting. You should count yourself lucky I'm so sneaky."
Atlas scoffed.
"We believe the word is pronounced small."
Pyra interjected before the two could start arguing.
"What have you discovered?"
"Oh, not much."
Evan leaned back.
"Just that the entire invasion is being orchestrated by Lucian and the Archbishop. They figure Eric here is the perfect scapegoat for the country's financial problems."
The queen quirked a brow.
"Financial problems? You're broke."
Atlas sat upright at this.
"What do you mean, broke?"
Evan mimed turning a coin purse upside down.
"As in, it doesn't have 2 coppers to rub together."
"But we were supposed to raid the coffers. That was the plan."
The mage slumped back into the bed, crestfallen.
Evan shrugged.
Well, too bad. By the sounds of it, the Regent Lord has been paying off the old priest guy for years to allow him to remain in control here.
Pyra put her head in her hands.
And then a fake Elias falls into his lap. The king takes over, and immediately the country spirals into war. Lucian's hands are clean.
Nailed it! The invading armies kill the king to show their superiority over heathen magics. They raise the country and kill off the ruling Fulgrave family. Except Lucian, of course, who had managed to hold the peace for so long. They cut up the kingdom and leave him a little chunk to call his own as thanks for his loyalty.
Pyra was visibly shaking, her fists clenched at her sides.
Giving way to the extermination of any who worship a god other than theirs.
She felt Varen put a gentle hand on her shoulder. Eric grit his teeth.
One thing doesn't make sense. He said the invading armies were days away from striking. If all this is in response to my arrival, how could they be there already?
Evan nodded.
That part was a lie. They're sending messages to the others using some sort of magic.
Atlas held up a finger.
Sending mage. Kind of like a scryer, but in reverse. That means they'll already have their instructions by now.
Exactly. And Lucian is putting together a military escort with specific instructions to drag their heels getting us there. It'll all look like he said by the time we arrive.
Eric sighed and looked out the window. The sun was starting to creep lower. They probably only had another hour or so before his big speech.
One calamity at a time. I need to figure out how to dress myself. Then we can work on fending off a continent.
With Undine's help, Eric managed to stand, putting his full weight on the cane. He realized that the simple handle was actually form-fitting to his palm, and the length of the shaft was perfect, allowing him to stand straight without stooping, but still placing as much force into it as he needed. For something so simple-looking, it was made perfectly for him, or rather, the king. It made him realize just how similar they must actually be. And yet, no matter how similar their physical appearance, Elias was undoubtedly closer to Vel in confidence and temperament. Either one of them could have come up with a solution to their problem. Or better yet, why not both?
That's it!
Pyra looked confused.
What? The cane?
No! Elias! I can't summon an army, but he can! We just have to get him!
Pyra looked at the ground.
Lucian was most likely correct earlier. My husband has been missing for so long, he is probably dead.
Oh!
Eric paused, swallowed hard, and looked at Atlas.
Did we forget to tell her?
Atlas looked confused for a moment, before realization struck. He started to sit up.
You know, Barry is still down in the kitchens. I think I'll go check on him.
Pyra grabbed the mage by the shoulder and shoved him back down, her eyes narrowing.
Forget to tell me what?
Eric ran his free hand through his hair.
Well, we kind of know that Elias is alive, and we know where he is.
Pyra and Undine both stared back at him, slack-jawed. Undine recovered first.
And you are just remembering to mention this now?
Eric held up his hands defensively.
Look, we just found out right before you attacked us at the tower. All things considered, it just kind of slipped my mind.
Pyra turned to Varen, who still had his hand on her shoulder, but he drew it back at the hurt look in her eyes.
And you, did you know of this?
Varen hesitated, but signed, My brother and I aren't on good terms. He tapped his throat in explanation.
You still could have told me.
Evan jumped to his defense.
He was a bit too busy getting yelled at to tell you much of anything. For your information, we were headed to bring him back when you insisted we come here instead.
Pyra winced. It was true. She had not given him much cause to treat her well since they had reunited. She turned to Eric.
Is what he says true? You seek a way to bring him back?
Eric teetered his hand back and forth.
Well, kind of. We were looking for my brother, and according to the old guy in the tower, the two of them are stuck together in the same dimension. If we can rescue one, we can rescue both just as easy. We just either need to repair my portal hopper or head to the Wicker Witches.
Evan piped up.
Plan A is a no-go. As part of the deal, the Archbishop is already cutting off the last of Lucian's techno-what-its.
Then we need to go to the Wicker Witches. They are in the far south, a half-day's ride from Emberun.
Pyra glanced out the window with a contemplative sigh.
Though I doubt our escort will allow us the detour, nor do I wish to take any longer than necessary to reach them. I propose we leave now, in the chaos of the celebration.
Eric nodded.
If it gets me out of having to give a speech, I'm all for it. But we saw how tight security is at the gate. With so much writing on this, Lucian isn't going to just let us waltz out the front door.
A thought brought a smile to Pyra's face.
I know someone who can help.
Eric held his breath with every ounce of willpower he had. Not because he worried about giving away their position, but because the filth-stained barrel he was sealed in smelled like a public outhouse on a hot day. Which, unfortunately, probably wasn't too far from the truth. Most medieval cultures relied on dumping their waste into rivers, but as a nation with a queen who hailed from waterfolk, Ebra had taken to the other common form of waste disposal. Massive off-site pits. Muckrakers and gong farmers made their living transporting garbage and sewage away from the cities. Eric had a sinking feeling his barrel had been used for the latter on previous trips. Just as his lungs were about to implode, a meaty hand pried back the lid.
Brutus.
Eric scrabbled out of the container as fast as his weakened limbs would allow, sucking down a lungful of air which was, admittedly, only slightly less rank. The giant man saw him struggling and plucked him from the barrel with a single hand, placing him on the ground next to the others. Panting, Eric turned to glance at the others around him, each of them still in a state of similar recovery.
Everyone all right?
Honestly, it was only the second smelliest container I've been in since we got here.
Evan grimaced.
At least we had it better than Barry.
Eric turned to look at the large wagon piled high with heaps of trash, manure, rotten food, and barrels of the unspeakable. As Brutus went about his business of tossing the waste into the nearby pit, the pile in the wagon began to move, heaping over the sides as a large bear emerged from beneath it, followed by a shambling corpse. Barry gave a piteous moan.
Sorry, buddy. They didn't have a barrel big enough for you.
Atlas moved beside his friend and began brushing bits of rancid meat and old porridge from the bear's face. Eric used his new cane to hobble closer to Pyra.
Seriously, there had to be a better way to get out of the castle than that.
Of course.
Pyra gave him a curt shrug. But none so close at hand, and time is not on our side. We are out, and that is what matters. Eric nodded begrudgingly. Pyra spotted the large man about to empty another barrel into the pit.
Brutus, wait! Some of those have our gear in them!
As the queen ran off to supervise, Eric looked down at his hand on the cane. The tips of his fingers were tinged black, and a numbness was radiating down through his palm. Not the most encouraging sign.
You should rest. There was a tree over there.
He nodded to himself. Wraith was right. If they were going to travel soon, he should rest while he could. Eric hobbled the short distance and slowly worked his way down between two of the large roots.
It's good to hear you again. You've been quiet lately.
I've been still, trying not to use too much of you. I'm sorry.
Shaking his head, Eric watched the others help Pyra retrieve their traveling packs and various supplies from the garbage heap.
It's all right. I'm all right. You stopped, and that's what counts. Are you okay?
I almost killed you. That was bad. But I know how to fix it. Just rest.
Eric smiled at the thought of a potentially malevolent spirit taking care of a pragmatic scientist. He was certainly in uncharted waters. A lethargic wave hit him, and he laid his head back, deciding on a nap until the others were ready to leave. Varen shouldered off one of the packs to the ground next to Pyra, who was sorting through the entirety of their things, ensuring everything was accounted for. He paused, looking down at her. She was right. Despite his reservations and worries about his brother, he should have told her. Pyra rummaged through the pockets on one of the packs before slumping back in a huff.
Damn it! I meant to pack some of my jewelry to trade for a few horses.
She looked over to Undine, who shook her head.
Apparently I forgot. Does anyone have anything worth trading?
Nobody answered. The prince set his jaw and tapped on her shoulder to get her attention. She glanced up at him.
Yes?
Varen raised his hands, unsure how to apologize, when something caught his eye. A dry leaf drifting on the breeze like ash. Then another, and another. Soon the air was filled with a flurry of dead leaves crumbling into dust at his feet. He turned around to see Eric, asleep beneath a tree, and the color drained from his face. He hauled Pyra to her feet, despite her protests, and forced her behind him as he drew his sword. The sudden sound of commotion drew the attention of the others, including Eric, who awoke with a start. He jumped to his feet, glancing around wildly.
What is it? Did someone find us?
Realization dawned on him that the others were all staring at him.
What's wrong?
Parasitic transference.
Atlas gave him an odd look before shaking his head.
Not even the professors would touch such a dangerous spell. Para what?
Evan pointed behind him.
Dude, what are you doing?
Eric spun around, surprise replacing his confusion. The lush, ancient tree he had been leaning against was now a withered husk, burned to ash from the inside. What leaves were left, clinging to the branches, were thin as tissue paper. Gnarled roots shriveled to dust in a bed of dead grass that radiated out some 10 feet. When his eyes landed on the cane laying on the ground, he realized he felt recovered, or at least somewhat better than he had earlier.
Not done yet. Sit back down. Maybe at a different tree.
Eric's eyes moved up the twisted husk of a trunk in horror.
Wraith, did you do this?
Needed energy. Took energy.
One question came instantly to mind.
Do trees have souls?
All living things have shade.
Eric felt sick to his stomach.
Did we just kill a soul?
Yes, but it made you better. Was worth it.
Eric turned towards the others. Varen was boring into him with his eyes, a sword held between them as he protected Pyra.
This is what you were worried about, isn't it? Why you have been so edgy around me lately?
Varen took another half step back, but nodded. Eric looked at Bob. Realization and horror settled into his gut. From the little he understood of shadow and shade magic, everything came with a cost. It taxed his very soul, which would heal and regrow, but there was only so much of it at once. To do something such as raise a creature from the dead, let alone thousands of them, one could not use their own energy as the power supply. They would have to tap other sources. The implications were terrifying.
I didn't do it on purpose.
It sounded hollow, and it was. He had just taken a life. Admittedly, it was a tree, but that was just semantics.
I don't understand. What is wrong?
Eric thought back to the warning Wilfred had given him. That Wraith was an entity that consumed souls. He couldn't blame the creature. It was in his nature. To himself, he whispered,
"This wasn't okay. I'm not angry, but I will explain later."
He felt Wraith's confusion, but the shadow bug remained silent. Eric addressed the prince again.
"I'm as horrified about this as you are. And I understand now. I promise you, this isn't who I am."
Varen let his sword fall, but he kept a wary gaze. He had seen this path play out before. Eric stooped and picked up the cane, before turning to walk out of earshot.
"Wraith, we need to set some ground rules."
Varen watched the man go, his hand moving absently to rub at his throat. He felt a tap on his arm and turned to see Pyra giving him an odd look.
"Are you okay? You seem upset."
Varen shrugged, but gave her a small, reassuring nod. Pyra glanced to where he was touching his throat. She knew Elias had taken his voice, but had never known how. It had occurred just before he vanished. She hadn't fully considered how the king's return might affect him. She looked back into his eyes.
You had wanted something earlier."
Varen nodded again and reached to his belt, retrieving his coin purse. He pressed it into her hands and signed hurriedly,
"Four horses. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about Elias."
Pyra watched him return to the others, before she opened the pouch to reveal a small fortune. She looked up in time to see the tiny dwarf scolding Varen for giving away his money, to which the prince acquiesced, despite the grin on his face.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
"So wait, no killing? Like, at all?"
"Of course not."
"What about small bugs?"
"No, nothing."
"But when we met, you fed me bugs. That is why I liked you."
Good point."
"Okay, so bugs are okay, but not trees. What about small bushes?"
"No killing, period. Not even bugs."
"What if someone is trying to kill you? Can I kill them back?"
"That's different, sort of. Try almost killing them instead, I guess."
"This is so confusing. So, only most of a people, but no trees, no bushes, and no bugs."
"I think that's right."
"Okay, so not even spiders."
"Well, maybe spiders."
"This makes no sense.